Sit over there. Front row. Move up.
And she is being sponsored by the Nussbaum family of Paramus in memory of Achav Shmuel ben Achav Meizam. So yes, we pulled off a stunt. We try to connect Pasha Zoch with Luchas Avelos. That would take a little bit of ingenuity. This week is not as difficult because we're dealing with Pasha's Torah, so we can definitely relate this to something Luchas Avelos. It's not Luchas Avelos proper, but it's Luchas Tumas Meis, which happens to appear in Luchas Avelos. And the truth is that we've pretty much finished our Luchas of Avelos per se that we're going to deal with this year. Some of the topics we're going to talk about probably a little bit more of the Pesach actually relate to some of these inyanim of Tumas Meis in terms of Kohanim and some other variety sort of topics in terms of Meisim. So tonight's shiur, I want to speak about a topic that appears explicitly in Parshas Para, which is probably the most relevant halacha l'maaseh shaila that really has to be resolved in terms of Kohanim, in terms of Tumas Meis. And that's, we know, the Torah tells us that a mace can be metame in several different ways. If a person touches a mace, one becomes tame, it's explicit pasuk in Parshas Chukas. Kolesha yigal p'nei asada, the Torah speaks about Tumas Naga. The Torah refers to Tumas Masa as well, in other contexts, and the Gemara compares it to Tumas mace. That if a person moves a mace, even though they didn't actually touch it, the person also becomes tame. Then perhaps the most difficult tuma to practically deal with is Tumas Ohel. The Torah gives us a chiddush in Parshas Parah. Zos haTorah Adam Kiyamas Ba'Ohel, Kalabala Ohel, V'choshev Ohel, Yitmashiv HaShemim. The halacha is that a person becomes tummy to his mace, even though they didn't come into contact with the mace, they didn't touch the mace, they didn't move the mace, there wasn't any physical contact, but they were under the same halachic Ohel, so that's considered to be a tumas mace with the Araisa. Those explicit psukim in Parshas Chukas. It's based on this that the halacha tells us that since we know that a Kohen is not permitted to become tummy to his mace, so what that would mean is he's not permitted to become tummy either through Tumas Maga or through Tumas Masa or through Tumas Ohel. So that would presumably be an issue there. I said a Kohen would subject himself to Tumas Ohel. When we speak about Tumas Ohel, obviously we're not just talking about a tent. We're talking about anything that is halachically considered to be an Ohel. So there are some very, very technical halachas in terms of what constitutes the same Ohel, what constitutes a separate Ohel, distinct Ohel, when all of them touch. So we're going to try to talk about some of those things, not in this year, maybe down the line we'll talk about that. Those are relevant issues in terms of Kohanim and hospitals and Kohanim and airplanes and a whole variety of different Kohanim issues. What exactly is an Ohel? How do you define precisely in halacha what's called an Ohel? Well, let's assume for now that we're dealing with some kind of an Ohel. So we want to know what kind of a mace is subject to the halachas of Tumas Mace to begin with. So here there was a machlokas ha-tanoim in the first B'mai Mekomos and Masechus Yevomos on Daf Samach on the Bay. There was a machlokas in Rabbi Shimon Ba'yuchai and the Rabbanon about whether the dinim of Tumas Meis, particularly the Tumas Ohel, applies to a non-Jew or not. So the Gemara starts out with Chivri Abdi Kichav Einan Metamim Be'Ohel, that this is the opinion of Rav Shimon Ba'yachai, that the kever of a non-Jew, or the body of a non-Jew for that matter, is not a problem of Tumas Ohel. Shenema, the Pasuk got a little chopped off from Yecheskel, but it's on the bottom of the next line, that there are 10 Tzoni Tzon Marisi Adam Atem. There's a Pasuk tucked away in the Navi Yecheskel that refers to Klal Yisrael with that lofty term of Adam. So the Gemara says, Atem Kriim Adam, the Ein Abdi Kicham Kriim Adam. We got this halacha of Tumas Ohel, the Torah happens to say, Zos HaTorah Adam Ki Yomos Ba'Ohel. So for this special din, we have a special tradition, Kulis Tekon Tev Shur Ba'Yachai, that Atem Kriim Adam, that Jewish mace is subject to Tumas Ohel, where the non-Jewish mace would not be subject to Tumas Ohel. This was the drasha of Rabbi Shimon Ba'Yachai. And the Rabbanan disagreed. The Gemara says Rabbi Shimon Ba'Yachai had a bachleikus with his colleagues about this. The other time I held, it's not true. There is no such drasha. I mean, the word Adam sometimes can mean Jew, sometimes can mean non-Jews. It doesn't mean per se dafka a Jew. So according to the Rabbanan who disagreed with Rabbi Shimon Ba'Yachai, said the halacha would be that kivri of the chavim are metame be'ohel, that a mace of the chavim is metame be'ohel. So then the Gemara goes one step further in the second of the Mamakomas in Yivamach Samach Aleph Amid Aleph. And the Gemara says, well, this machlekes of Bishima Yechayin the Rabbanon, but the non-Jewish mace is a problem for Ohel. And of course, the corollary, of course, will be, is it a problem for Kohen to go into a room, into an Ohel, halachic Ohel, where a non-Jewish mace is present? So Ravina raises a question in Yivamach Samach Aleph Amid Aleph. What about the other two? Let's hit that Ohel for a minute. What about Tumas Maga, Tumas Masa, Hagoyim subject to that Tuma? So Ravina Amar Nihidim Atinu Kram Yatmuya Ba'ohel Tichsiv Adam Kiyamas Ba'ohel Mimagu Masabi Atinu Kram. Says Ravina, the only reason why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai held that non-Jews are not metamig ba'ol, because that's special gzeres ha'kosov, you can't ask any kashas on the pasuk. But the phrase Adam happens to only appear by Tumas Oel, doesn't appear by Tumas Maga. By Tumas Maga it says, V'chola she'igal pre'as Adam, v'chola cherev ad neis. Doesn't say that, it's a meis Adam. So a meis, a non-Jewish meis is also a meis. So comes Ravina and qualifies the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He's not telling you what's necessarily possibly with Shema Yochai, not. He's just telling you that even according to Shema Yochai, it's just a cool, it's just a leniency in Hilchas Tumas Oel, but it doesn't carry over to other Tumas. That in the Chanami, that Nida Araisa, there would be a problem of Tumas Magan, there would be a problem of Tumas Masa. The only thing that there's no problem of in terms of Tumas Akom is only the unique halacha of Tumas Oel. So we have a Machlekes HaTanoim, so how do we pass in halacha? How should we be machriya in this machlokas between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Rabbanim? So if you would ask me, I would say that we should probably not follow Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That you have a machlokas of Shimon Bar Yochai and the Rabbim, Yochid Rabbim, Machira, Yochid Rabbim, Loch the Rabbim. The Gemara has Kol Yatzrak in the fourth parak of the seventh Erevin, and you have machlokas Rabbi Yudin, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi, and then the Rabbanon, and Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Shmuel, all kind of different kolam about how you paskin. One of the basic rules of Pesach is that Yochav Rav Aloch Terabim. So L'chera, we shouldn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's what you would have asked me. The only problem is that the Rishonim point out there's a Gemara tucked away in the very end of Maseches Mafetzia. I left it on the Mount of Kamos because it's till you get to the punchline of the story. You have to go through half the story, so I figured I'll say about that. So the Gemara tells a very, very strange story in the ninth parak of Mitzvah, which sheds some light on this Pesach Halacha, that maybe we should in fact adopt the view of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Gemara tells the story that Eliyahu HaNavi was once in a Beis HaKvaros, and one of the Amoraim saw him in the Beis HaKvaros. So they asked him, Eliyahu HaNavi, what are you doing in the cemetery? He said, after all, laf kohen mar, aren't you a kohen? So the Rishonim explained that the Gemara's question was predicated on the fact that Pinchas Eliyahu, that's from that Eliyahu HaNavi was the same as Pinchas, whether it meant literally the same person or descendant, whatever Chazal meant with that statement. But the Gemara was working with the assumption that Eliyahu HaNavi was in fact the kohen. So the Amoraim asked him, laf kohen mar, what are you doing? You're a kohen in the Beis HaKvaros. So it's interesting that on that Gemara, Tosfos quotes that this assumption of Chazal was by far not muskam even within Chazal, because other midrashim Tosfos says that identify Eliyahu HaNavi as not being Pinchas, they identify Eliyahu HaNavi as being from Teshuvah, from Shevet Shem Binyamin, from Yosef, from Menashe. So it gives you a whole different slew of midrashim that have different identifications. Eliyahu HaNavi was such a mysterious figure in Tanakh, we're not even sure where he came from, we're not even sure which Shevet he came from. So Tosfos says that there are several midrashim about this. But I'll quote one of the premise of the question of that particular Moira was working with that Mahalach and Chazal, and he was a Kohen. So he asked him, what are you doing in the basic verse? So Eliyahu HaNavi said, no, don't worry about it. It's a Goyish basic verse. It's not a Jewish basic verse. That's why I'm here. Because doesn't everybody know that Akam and not Metam is Ohel? So some of the Rishonim say, now you don't just have Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, now you have Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Eliyahu HaNavi. So he's somebody good to have on your team if you want to pass him. So maybe Eliyahu HaNavi was Machriya that the Halacha is in fact like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So Tais themselves write that it's not necessarily a very convincing raya, that it, they quote you other about Baruch Chazal where Eliyahu HaNavi had strange discussions with different people. And Eliyahu HaNavi would sometimes say things that weren't necessarily difficult for Halacha. I mean, he was like Tosfos says that Bechuyah Kabed did not kill it. He's saying, like, don't bother me, I know what I'm doing. I'm in the basic class, I have my own reasons for being in the basic class. Don't ask me Kasha, nothing to do with Tumas Achum. So he just said to him, yeah, by the way, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai holds Tumas Achum, that Goyim are not Matayim Ba'o, but he didn't need to be Machriya L'Psach HaLacha like this. So Tosfos has issues, and Bava Metzia, but he can really bring a raya from this very, very strange story that appears in the end of Bava Metzia. So at the end of the day, how should we paskin? So the story is not convincing one way or the other. So what should that halacha be? So comes Tosfos in Yevamos and Afshamach Aleph and Aleph, the third of the Mamakamas. The Yomari de'ein halacha Rabbi Shimon says that he doesn't think that we should follow the view of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He thinks we have to be machmir that goyim are in fact metamei be'ol. Because he says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Poligalei, because Tosfos dug up a Tana Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel who disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now, why is that important that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees? Because the Gemara is a klal called Mokom Shoshana Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'Mishnah Seinu Alech Kamoso. That there's a klal gadol in the Mishnayos. Whenever Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel appears in the Mishnah, so we always paskin like him, except for three cases spit out throughout Shas. But 99.99% of the time we pass in Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. So if Tosfos dug up a Mishnah that holds that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, that's going to definitely sway the Psach against Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So here's the Mishnah. So Tosfos showed off their Bekiyas. He said, "Kedus Nav Maseches Olos." So pair Yurchas Mishnah Tess and Maseches Olos. Yeah, you have to know all of Olos to get to the 18th parak. So Tosfos says that they dug up that Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel happens to disagree with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Now the emphasis is it doesn't say that exactly in the Mishnah. The way Tosfos is learning Pshat in the Mishnah, it comes out Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, but there are other ways of learning Pshat in that Mishnah. So it's not an open and shut case the way Tosfos presents it. So therefore, Tosfos says, "Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Mishnah Seinu." Quotes the Gemara, says in several places, "Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'Mishnah Seinu." So Tosfos says, therefore, what are the ramifications of this b'halacha? Utzrichim kohanim lizoim mikiver erdikichavim. Says Tosfos, since we just got finished telling you that we don't pass the Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, so now it's a mamshah problem there, Isa, that a goy is a mace is betami boel. So a kohen would have to be nizar midar Isa, not only not to touch a goy is a mace, not only not to move a goy is a mace, but not even to be in the same room as a goy is a mace, because we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So this is quite a difficult track for many Kohanim. Don't assume this way. We'll see what they're relying on in a moment. But according to the opinion of Tosfos, this is a problem there, I saw that Kibrei Akam on the topic, we rejected Rav Shimon Yechayim, that that's Yochid. We pass against a problem with there, I saw. So any cooler that you would hear about, well, it's only a Goy Shemei, so therefore it doesn't matter that I'm in the same room. So according to the Baalei Tosfos, that's clearly not acceptable. However, the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. The Rambam in the fourth of the Mam Kamos, so the Rambam tells us toward the end of that Rambam, the third line from the bottom, in Hilchos Avil, Paragim Allah Gimel, where he's talking about all the dinim of a kohen becoming tamei. So he says that basically, if you want to know what's considered to be tumah, so you have to look at Hilchos Tumas Meis, where he spent many halachas telling you the details of Hilchos Tumas Meis. It's interesting. The Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis is something very interesting about that there are more Reb Chaims about Rambams in Hilchos Tumas Meis than there are about any other halacha throughout the Rambam. If you just open up a Chiddush Reb Chaim al-Levi al-Rambam, so you notice that Reb Chaim has one piece of Hilchos Shabbos, and one piece of Hilchos Nishas, one piece of Hilchos Geirushin, one piece of Hilchos Bias Mikdash, assorted pieces, and you come to Hilchos Tumas Meis, it's about 25 pieces. He has a 25 shtickel Torah, Populum on the Chiddush Torah, and Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Meis. So, my highway, how did that happen exactly? So, it's said over that the Rav used to say, and maybe you heard this directly from him, he said that the Rav Chaim, when he got older, so Pachad Yom HaMisa, that he felt, he was nervous, Chaim was also human, he was nervous about dying. So how does a Rav Chaim, deal with death? So he decided what he's going to do is he's going to go as Amtas and Hilchos Tumas Meis, that he's going to learn the Dinim of Hilchos Tumas Meis so well, it's going to become such a, I guess once you start to talk about it so much, so it takes away some of the sting, some of the fear. So he says he's going to deal, he's going to be mandic, and Hilchos Tumas Meis more than any other area of halacha towards the end of his life, and some of that's going to calm him down from his fear of the Yom HaMitzvah. That's what the tradition goes. Did you ever get it? Yeah, so I think it bears out, because the mice are chilled, that there are more Reb Chaims on Hilchos Tumas Meis than anywhere else. So, strange. You heard it from Pius, you heard it from the Rebbe. Yeah, because I've seen it in print, but I've heard over this tradition that from... It was I think it was published after he passed away already, but the pieces were his. So the Rambam in Hilchos Avil refers you back when he wrote Hilchos Tumas Meis. You're right. Three lines on the bottom. So the end of the line, Visham Bayarnu, She'ein Akko Metamin V'Ohel. That we pass like Rav Shimon Bayechai, like the Gemara seems to say in Bava Metzia, that the Loch is like Rav Shimon Bayechai, Lefikach, Kibroseim Tahorim. So therefore the graves of a non-Jew are Tahor, Mutter Lekayim Likana Fasham, because when you walk on a kever, so you're not touching the mace, you're not moving the mace, you're being Ma'ilol the mace. The Din of Ohel means that either of you are in the same room with the mace, or you're on top of a maze, or a maze on top of you. Those are all considered to be part of Tumas Ohel. So when a person goes to a basic kvaras, so and why do we say when a person goes to the basic kvaras to become tummy? Well, you become tummy. Maze is underground. You're not touching the maze. The answer is, but you're being mile on a maze. When you walk over a kever, part of your body leans over a kever, so the tumor goes up to you, b'toras ohel. So the Rambam writes that to walk on a, literally, mamish, to walk on top of a non-Jewish grave would be hetter gomor, if we're going to do, because we pasik rishum b'yachal, if you mutal lekayim likanas hasham, b'lidach hakipam seyam, v'eino asa el sheyiga b'tuma o sheyisa'enek moshe b'yav hasham. Says the Rambam, don't jump to any conclusions that Chalil, I'm telling you, you're allowed to touch a gaisha base. He says, no, that's out of the question, the Rambam says, because since the second of Amakomos, Ravina himself qualified Rishitas from Rishim Bayachai and said, even Rishim Bayachai, the biggest Makil, so he only held this cool Lagabi Tumas. Oh well, the Lagabi Tumas, Magul Masa, nobody says that it's not Mitame. So it's a double portion, says the Rambam, for a Kayan to touch a Gaishimais, that's clearly out of the question. So the evidence is that this statement of the Rambam that sounds so posh, that sounds like it's so obvious that that Tumas Magal Masa, there's nothing to discuss. Of course, a Kohen is not allowed to touch a non-Jewish maze, so it's not agreed upon by everybody. There's a Gross Maimony that quotes from the Sefer Yerayim from Blazer Mimitz, who says that it's mutter for a Kohen not only to be in the same Ohel as a non-Jewish maze, it's mutter for him even to touch a non-Jewish maze. How can he say such a thing? The Gemara is the Feirish. That's also. So if you look, if you try to explain what the Sefer Yerayim means as follows. He didn't mean to say that when you touch the non-Jewish maze, you don't become tummy. That's an impossible statement. That's Ravina's Befeirish statement. There is no pasuk to differentiate between a non-Jewish maze and Jewish maze vis-a-vis Tumas Nagel Masa. But the Sefer Yerayim meant as follows. The issa to become tummy to Tumas maze, so that means to become tummy to a type of a tumor that has all the chumas of Tumas Meis to it. What does that mean? Say for a Kohen to touch an Avela. Is there anything wrong with a Kohen touching a dead animal? It's at the Gomer. Like one time somebody called me, a Kohen called me, he said his dog died, and he wanted to know if there's anything wrong with him taking out the dog to be buried, whether he's allowed to touch the dead dog. So I said, Vach Shabbat Mutter. I said, Emel Kohen, the Aaron, the Pasuk says, the Nefesh Lay Tav V'yamach, the din is that you're not allowed to become tummy for a Meis Adam, but you are allowed to become tummy for Tumas Nevel. Even though the mice become tummy, you become tummy Tumas Nevel when you touch a dead dog. It doesn't matter. The Torah was never Mechayev, that kind of a tumor. So the Sefer Yerayim says that the Torah was only Mechayev, a Kohen, not to become tummy, to a type of a tumor that has all the chumas of Tumas Meis to it. So what does that mean? A type of a tumor, a type of body that emits tumor, the Torah is Nazan, emits tumor, the Torah is Nasan, emits tumor, the Torah is Ohel. That's called our mace. That's called Azat, Tumas mace. So that's the issue that the Torah said. But a non-Jewish mace, which doesn't have all the chumras of Tumas mace, Haraya, according to the quote of Shema Yechai, it doesn't have Tumas Ohel. So even though it's true that's Tumas Maga, and it's true that's Tumas Masa, but there's no issue for a coin to become Tomei. The issue is for him to become Tomei, Azat, Tumas mace. So the Tumas Maga Masa of a non-Jewish body, it'll be Mitami for 7 days. You need a part of Duma, but that's not called the full-fledged Isra, the full-fledged status of Tumas Meis. So that's the lumbus of the Sefer Yerayim. So it comes out that there are really three distinct shittas b'halacha in the Rishonim. Mamish halacha l'maisa, what is a Kohen's practice? Is a Kohen allowed to have any contact or any being the same oh, with a non-Jewish Meis or not? So you have three extreme shittas. You have the shittas HaTosfos, the Omer Ri, the Ri's opinion, the Tam, the Balei Tosfos, who held that we don't accept Rav Shir Bayachai, so therefore non-Jewish mace is not the exact same halachically as the Jewish mace. So whatever you can't do for a Jewish mace, whatever that means, if you can't go to a hospital with a Jewish mace, so you can't go to a hospital with a non-Jewish mace. If you hold that it means you can't drive on the main street in Kugan Hills because there are trees which are overhanging over a Jewish cemetery, so you hold that's considered to be Tumas Ohel, which we will talk about that in weeks to come. So the same would be true for a non-Jewish cemetery. You wouldn't be able to drive down McDonald's Avenue in Borough Park by Fort Hamilton when you get off the highway. So there's a non-Jewish cemetery there with trees overhanging. So whatever you hold, whatever your standards for Jewish Mason are, the exact same standards for non-Jewish Mason, that would be the opinion of the Balei HaTosfos. Then you have the middle ground, the Shittas HaRambam, where the Rambam says that's perfectly okay to be in the same room with a non-Jewish mace, but to touch a non-Jewish mace, that would be absolutely out of the question. So I mean, the theory, according to the Rambam, We see that let's say a person wants to study Torah, wants to study medicine, or some other profession in that area, which may involve dealing with Mesim. So the Rambam would say it's perfectly okay to be in the same room if it's a non-Jewish Mace, but to touch the non-Jewish Mace, that's out of the question, according to the Rambam. Then you have the third extreme view, which is the Sefi Arayim, who's Mekel Lagamrei. That means not only can you be in the same Ola as a non-Jewish Mace, you can even touch it, you can even move it, because even though you become Tamei, but that's not called becoming Tamei in the full sense of Tumas Mace, since he accepts of Shema Yechai, and he extends a heft at the Kohanim, even Lagabi Imago Ma'asa. So really we have three different opinions in the Gedolei Harishonim how to be Machri on this fundamental question. Shaila, this comes up mamash all the time. So Lamaisa, how do we paskin? What should the proper practice be? So comes the Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Ramakomas in Yeridei and Simin Shin Ayin Beis, if Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Kivrei of the Kichavim, Nochon Lizar HaKoyim Yilelech Aleihem. That the proper practice, says the Shulchan Aruch, is to be Machmir. Again, the phrase Nochon Lizar is clearly saying that he's not passing that way Mamish Medina, but on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch is recommending it, so the Shulchan Aruch is telling you that Me'ikra didn't follow the Rambam, but Tosfos disagrees, so in deference to the Balei Tosfos, one should try to avoid it if one is able to. And then the Ramah adds on to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, Af Apishyesh Makilin, even though there are some Rishonim who are Mekel, and in the brackets it's a little bit misleading in the parentheses, because it says Rambam, which is the Rambam is Mekel at least for Olel, and then he quotes a Gros Ma'am Hashem Sefi Reim, which is not the same as the Rambam. He's even more Mekel than the Rambam. But at least there are Mekelim unto his Olel for sure, and the Ramah says V'nochem HaHachmer. He says that, but one should really be a machmer also, following the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. So both the Mechaber and the Ramah come basically to the same Pesach, surprisingly, that they both paskin that the difference between Lechatchila and Meikradin, the Lechatchila of the Kohen asks Yeshayla, what should his practice be? So we would strongly recommend that the Kohen not put himself into these kinds of positions, that he shouldn't to set up a situation where he has to rely on the Shittas Rambam, because Tosfos disagreed. If some kind of a big tzarech or something, so then one could rely on the Ikradin. Then the Ramah just points out something which is obvious, but the Ramah felt he should tell it anyway about Kevashal Mumar Metamik Yeshay Yisrael. What if you have a person who was born as a Jew and now he converted to another religion, he happens to be buried in the non-Jewish cemetery, so Avab is Metamik, there's no question about that. So even though he may not have practiced being a Jew his whole life, if he had Kedushas Yisrael to him, so then he has Tumas Ohel L'chol Hadeya. So that would be an interesting idea, that even according to the Rambam, if you want to just be make of that non-Jewish cemetery just like that, assuming there are no Jews buried there, I don't know if he can make such a statement in America in 2006 that depends where you are. It's just the middle of Montana, there probably aren't too many Jews that are buried there. If you go to a non-Jewish cemetery in New York, I would be willing to bet that there are probably more than one person who's buried there who has conditions as well. But I'll call upon him, if it would really, honest to goodness, be a non-Jewish mace, so there are more grief to the Mechaber than the Ikamikra Din, it would really be acceptable. Even the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, who make Ikra Din a sodding like the Rambam, they don't pass them like the Arayim. That didn't even make it into the Shulchan Aruch, the opinion of the Arayim. So it's time to be Mekel to have a Kohen touch non-Jewish Mesim. So that's very, very schwer. I mean, that's the Arayim. Okay, the Arayim was the Arayim, but the Rub of the Rishonim did not accept it, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah didn't accept it either. So I don't think that's something that a person should really be Mekel on. There is another factor, somewhat of a monkey wrench, that's thrown into a possible svala hoko, some of these shilas, which is a pishet shuva in the sixth of the Ma'amakomos in your Adayim Simin Shin Ayin Beis, Sifkot and Tes. So the pishet shuva called the Dagur Mevav. Dagur Mevav were the notes of the Nevi Yehuda on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. I have a Dagur Mevav, Shekos of the Zelashono. Vadas Harayivit Perkei Menezirus Aloch Yedayin. He quotes Harayivit Nuchos Menezirus. What was this Harayivit Nuchos Menezirus? The Harayivit has a phenomenal Chiddush Nuchos Menezirus. The Harayivit writes that based on his reading of the Gemara in Maseches Nazir, the Yisuf Rekohen to become Tamei Lameis, says the Harayivit, that means if you have a Kohen who's Tahor, and he he goes ahead and says, but Tommy himself, that's what the Torah says you're not allowed to do. That's called the Michal, the conditions Kahuna, you're going from Torah to Tommy, that's what the Torah prohibits. It says the Rai, based on his reading of the Gemara, what would that locha be? If a person's already Tommy, he was Tommy already for the last 20 years, he was Tommy, and he never got a chance to be Matar himself. Why wasn't he Matar himself? Because he doesn't have Eifer Paraduma. So says the Rai, but he doesn't think that's an Isra of a Nefesh Leitama Biyamav. What do you mean a Nefesh Leitama? I'm Tommy already, so what's the problem? What do you mean, Meshif Tumal Tumal? So there's nothing wrong with that. So the simple reading of the Rive is that the Tetagrama, we'll see in a minute whether the Rive really meant that, but one could read into the Rive in Ruchas Nazir that it's a Tetagrama for a Kohen who's already Tummy to become Tummy again. So therefore the Rive says if that statement is true, so then all Kohanim Bezman Azeh are Becheskes Tumay. We assume that every Kohen at some point became Tummy. So now the Kohen at the age of 50 years old asks you, so Tachas, am I allowed to go to the cemetery? The answer is yep, not a Kohen cemetery, a Jewish cemetery. You're allowed to go to a funeral? Yeah, you're allowed to go to a funeral. You know why? You once went to a funeral. Let's say, your relative died at one time, so it was not that you didn't go to a funeral, but one time you were in a place where somebody died, accidentally, and now you became Tomei. If you know that you became Tomei to Mizmeis at some point in your life, we don't have Eicher Paraduma, so therefore there's no Issel Nefesh Leitam Biyama. So the Rive just came with one fell swoop with an eraser, and basically erased the Pasuk Yad HaChumash for us. I mean, there is no Issel Nefesh Leitam Biyama anymore, because everybody's Tomei to Mizmeis, assuming that's really true, that the Kohen really did become Tamei Tumah space. So this is a tremendous Chiddush. So we generally do not accept this Rive. This is a Das Yochet, Shabbi Yechidim. Nobody else accepted this opinion of the Rive. Why didn't the other Rishonim accept the opinion of the Rive? So the other Rishonim learned that the Gemara does have this concept that there's nothing really wrong with being Meisif Tumah Tumah. So that means if you're not really accomplishing anything by becoming Tamei, because you're already Tamei, so that's not really the Issa. But the other Rishonim say that you are adding something. You're adding a dimension of Tumah. Even let's say a person became Tamei last month, if he goes then is Matami himself again, so there's something that is adding to the original Tumah. What is that? So Rabbi Natan is quoted by the Rishonim saying that he's delaying his ability for Tahara. Because the Torah says in Parshas Parah, that a person has to, so a person just touched the mace 2 days ago, so then they can start the Eifer Paraduma on the third day. So a person just touched the mace today, so he can't even start the Tahara process. So he has to wait for another 3 days before he can start to sprinkle the Eifer Paraduma on him. So if you have a person who became Tamei last year, so he in theory could start his Eifer Paraduma today. When he goes ahead and is Matami himself, now he pushes off the Tahara process another 2.5 days. So comes a bit of time and says, that's called adding a dimension of Tumah. True, you were Tomei and you're still Tomei, so you didn't add a Tumah per se, but you added his mind. You added a delay in your Tara, in your ability to Matara yourself. So that's called the Isra of the Kohen being Matami himself. That's a bit of time's lumbus. Comes out from a bit of time about Chiddush. What would it been being if a person became Tomei this morning? Now he wants to, let's say Behetas, his relative died, became Tommy this morning. Now he wants to go and be Matame in the afternoon. He wants to go to visit someone in the hospital now in the afternoon. He wants to go to a cemetery. He wants to go on a plane. He wants to do different things that a Kohen, let's say, sometimes would have to be careful about in terms of Tumas Meis. So Benatam will give you a freebie the whole day. Because according to Benatam, the whole issue is the delaying of the Tara process. So that's true if you Matame yourself the following day. So then you push off the Tara for another day. But if you Matami yourself on the same day that you already became Tamei, so my Hani later Tumah, the second Tumah, you still can't start Yei for Paraduma the same way you couldn't start it for another 2 days, you still can't start it for another 2 days. So that would be a tremendous clue that Rav Natan says that the day that you became Tamei, so then you don't have to worry anymore. So nice, we don't really pass like that either. We pass like the Rambam. The Rambam writes that the only time that it's mutter for a Kohen to become Tamei again is if he's still touching a mace right now. That means right now he's mamish holding on to a mace, so if he touched another mace, so nishkafela, that's okay. That's not called adding on tumah, because he's mamish holding on to a mace. He's holding on to mace A, so you put him onto mace B, that would be okay. But anything short of that, the Rambam says would be also midarais, and that's how we generally pass in Allah. We don't accept the Rai, we don't accept Rabbi Natam. We hold that if and when a Kohen is mamish touching a mace, so that's mutter for him to touch another mace. It's based on this Rambam that there was a very, very mechudishtik idea that was suggested. It's not generally accepted lahalacha. The idea was suggested was as follows, that we can have an Eitza for a Kohen who wants to go to medical school. There's an Eitza for the Kohen not only to participate as a bystander in anatomy, he can mamish deal with the body, he can mamish touch the body. How you talking? How does a mutter touch the body? Well, he's going to align the Urayim. he's going to rely on the Ravid. We don't pass him like those Rishonim. So what possible hectic do we have to let him go to medical school? So somebody came up with the following Eitza, that Kol's man that he's touching a dead body, so he's allowed to touch the second dead body. So let's make him touch a dead body all the time. Well, it sounds like a Chum story. What do you mean? But how's he allowed to touch the first dead body? So here's the Eitza. There's a din also from Parshas Para of the Chalal Cherev, the public says. Cherev areo techolol. Especially in Zeres HaKosuf, in Uchus Tumas Meis, usually when you have a tumah, so whatever touches the Dovra Tameh becomes Tameh, but it usually goes down a notch. Let's say if the Meis was an Aviyavosa tumah, so the Kli touches the Meis, so the Kli becomes an Avatumah, and then the food touches the Kli, becomes a Rishon. That's usually the way tumah goes down. It always goes down stage by stage. So the Gemara says an exception to this rule is a metal kli. If you have a metal utensil, cherev areo kecholol, so if a metal touches a mace, so that metal becomes tame, mamash like an aviyavosa tumah, and the person who touches the metal is mamash like he's touching a mace himself. So it was in fact this Gemara that let some Rishonim have a tremendous chiddush that a kohen is not allowed to touch a metal kli that touched the mace, because touching a metal kli that touched the mace is the same as touching a mace. So we don't talk like that. We assume that that's okay. Technical reason why we assume that's okay. So came one of the priests in Israel came up with a gevalt geifa. He said, "You want a kohen to be able to touch a mace? Let's give him a metal kli." At one time touch the mace, and he'll hold on to that clay. Calls mind that he's holding on to that clay, so he's already tummy to the mace. He can't get more tummy than that, but there's nothing wrong with him touching the metal clay, because we hold the firmness of Tumas Kohanim. So maybe it's enough to permit him to touch a mace in the future. So what kind of a clay are you going to hold? A watch. Came with the nature, take a watch. Bring a, next time we get a funeral, bring a watch. So the watch will be in the same oil as a mace, so it will become mamash avia vosatuma. Give this to the kohen and tell him, listen, whenever you're in anatomy class, make sure to wear this magic watch. If you wear this magic watch, so you're touching a mace, you're mamash touching an avia vosatuma, you're becoming an avatuma, and that's going to save you, that's going to be mouth for you. Yeah, okay. As long as he picks up the tool first. But okay, that's all fine. So, an Eitza. Forget, this Eitza will be even better, because there's this, it'll help, oh, hello, also. Okay, good, go to the Chinami. So this was a very, very difficult Eitza to accept. The overall majority of the person didn't buy into this idea for a variety of reasons. It's nice as not the same as touching a mace. It's a viavosa tumah, it's not the mace mamish. There's a lot of lumdish reasons why this Eitz really did it and wasn't miskabel until most of the poskim. But the idea was based upon some of the things that we're talking about. So come to Bishna Tshuva, going back to the Dera Mavava, and he raised the following issue. He says, according to the Ravid, the Hecha Shukva Tamei Shuv Eina Muzer Alatuma, Kimkein Kohanim Bezmanah Zeh Eina Muzharim Alatuma, the Aftalo Kaimelon Keraivid, even though we don't really follow the Ravid, we come up on the mace, and we kichav mika sveik sveika. Shtikol sveik sveika. What's a sveik sveika? Well, maybe the Rambam's right that a mace, Akum, is not Matami Be'ol altogether. And even if he is Matami, or maybe the Ravid's right that there's no way it's going to become Tami Bezmanah Zeh. So maybe you can be Malamit Chus and all the Kohanim who are in the same Ohel as a non-Jewish mace. So even if the Shachmarach and the Rambam both say you really shouldn't do it, Nochem Izoya, maybe if it's here of the Ravid, you can be Maker. That was the case that Dagum of Ava wanted to make to defend those Kohanim who even the Chachila going to the non-Jewish mace. And then he writes, says Lachen Elfin, as Daiti, the Misha wrote to Lispach was a Lahokalin in Tumas Ol, ain't Mochin the other. He says, you can't stop someone who wants to be Megal. For Shuv Kosov, but then the Nevi himself backed out even from that. To Choma Shekasavtin, him Shachti, Achadivir, and Mishlo Melech, till Daiti, till Sova, Arrived, she ain't is a claw the Kohen, she find it in Latami Atzmo. Well, Achshav, Nasati, Alibi, she Ulai, the Oma, Arrived, El in Yerchi of Malkus, that he said that there is no Ravid that says that the Mutter becomes Tamim Bizmanazah. The Ravid happens to say in Uchus Nazir that if a Kohen becomes Tamim Bizmanazah, he's not Chayav Malkus. But there may be still some kind of an Isser. So then the Rebbe says, I'm going to take away my whole Kula. So at the end of the day, you don't even have to know Yudhis Kula, you have to fall back on the Mechaber and the Ramah. That the Iker Adin is that Meis Akam is not Mitamid Be'ohel. But it's strongly recommended that one should be machmir. Masha ein kein lagavi tumas mago mafsa. So then, except for the urayim and the raivin, those are das yachidim that we don't pass, right? So we're really in no circumstances should a kohen actually be touching a meisachim or actually be moving a meisachim in any shape or form. So I think that should really be the hachral halacha. That comes with tumas olal lechatchila, we should avoid that also. But the shas of chach, that we have ground to be mako. When it comes to mago mafsa, so we'll even b'shas v'chach, one should not be mekel. It's a fascinating shayla this week. Somebody called me, another Rav called me about a related to this tumas mace, a shayla. I never got the shayla before. Shayla was apparently a dentist who's a Kohen. So he, there's some kind of, I don't even know the details of what it is, there's something which was made out of human bones, which apparently was supposed to be put into a place. I don't know, silly, I don't know again, if you ask one of the dentists what the details were. But apparently this Cohen dentist had a deal with this crushed up thing which had a source of human bones. So Shabbos would be allowed to do that. Because the bone, is that piece of bone that he's going to be dealing with, is that metami or not? It's not possible. It's his passion, Pasha's para. Torah says, V'chiyaga be'etzem adam of a cover, that an etzem of an adam, that a bone of a person is metame. Question is, how much? How much is the shia? It was a very, very small piece that he had to deal with. So the Gemara says, we have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai, that it depends. Regabe tumas, ohel, so then the shia is much bigger. Rov minyan or rov binyan, it has to be most of the skeleton, or it has to be, or a whole skull, or it has to be rov akav, but some different shia, it was all halacha l'moshe m'sinai, how much, in order to become tummy tumas, ohel. But to become tummy to Ms. Mago Mas, it's much, much smaller. It's Etzem Kisa Oira. The Gemara says, that's Tess Mach, the Eretz Chita Sa'ora. Sa'ora refers to Etzem Kisa Oira. So, how much is a Sa'ora? That's what this Rav called me. He wanted to know, he says, this guy is a little 2x0 piece of bone. How much is a Sa'ora? He asked, I have no idea. I said, I don't know. Does it mean the body? Take a body? I said, I don't know. Does it mean the whole body? Doesn't the body have a, come like wheat? Doesn't it come in a whole shell also? Or is it the whole shell? Is it just a grain? I have no idea. I don't know. Maybe it's a Mishnah Maseches Olos. I have no clue. But then I remembered, I said, the only thing I can help him with is, the post can say that the calculation of how much a pruta is the amount of silver to a, they give some shiur, half a barley grain or something. So if you can go figure out in grams from the post can look at Tidyon Ben, how much a grams it is, and for a pruta, you can be able to extrapolate from how much a barley grain is. That was the best thing I was able to do for him. I don't know what he'd do with that information. So here the problem was, it wasn't a tumas ol shayla. If it would have been tumas ol, it wouldn't have been so terrible. But it was a tumas maga shayla. I mean, the Kohen's mama is going to be touching, he's going to be handling this stuff. I think that was a serious problem. The same Rav told me once, also a dentist shayla, that apparently this particular, another dentist, I guess, not this one, another dentist, had mamash's skull in his office. So even though no people in the world are goyim, so it probably came from a non-Jewish body, but Gulgolas is metame ba'ol. So Shedri v'Gulgolas, a Mishnah in all of us. So he had a whole skull sitting in his office. So the Shiloh was, one of his patients was a Kohen. So he wanted to know, is he allowed to go to this dentist? So I told him that according to the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch, he's not really supposed to. Nochem Lizoy, he's not supposed to go to this dentist. He told the dentist, he's got to take it out. So these Shilohs, Mamash, come very, very relevant. I remember I had a friend of mine who was, when he was engaged, his wife, she was in medical school, and she happened to be studying, she was doing anatomy that semester that they were going out. So he used to, she lived in, she was in Einstein, she was living in one of the Einstein apartments, so he used to pick her up, so he used to come to her apartment and pick her up for a date. So she mentioned him, like something that, like this semester, so a lot of the students bring home the bones, they bring home to do work with them, you know, in the apartment late at night. So his mouth dropped, he's a Kohen. So he said, he can't come anymore. He's out. Not only can he not come to pray, he can't even go into the lobby anymore because it's oh well, and so from the Lotse, it's a complicated chesbonus. So kachavach, that he wasn't allowed to go into that building. And there was a problem because when they got married, they wanted to live in the Einstein apartment. So that was going to be a big, big problem. So they had to work out the details of that. So these shadows, mamash, happen all the time. Tumas, all shadows happen all the time. Tumas, all of non-Jewish mason happen all the time. So if you go with the Ikfas Haramah, everything's okay. As long as you're not touching it, then okay, there's very little to discuss. Except for the dentist case, where you might have to touch it. But if you go by Tosfos, like the Shacharach of the Ramos, like a Tchila to be Machped, so then you have to really be down in each case about those driving Shailas and hospital Shailas and many Shailas that could potentially come up in terms of Tumas Ol. So hopefully in the future we'll have a chance to talk about some of the more details as to what is an Ol, what's not an Ol. Next week there's a no